This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. In California, if you're a cop who's been convicted of a crime, there's a good possibility you can still keep your job. California has one of the weakest systems in the country for punishing police officers who've committed crimes, crimes such as drunk driving, pedophilia, manslaughter. A group of newsrooms worked together to create a list of these officers, and that database is now public. It's searchable online. It's been difficult to get there, though, and joining me to talk about this journey is Robert Lewis, a reporter with the investigative program at UC Berkeley. Welcome back to the program.
Hello. Thank you.
Well, you spent 6 months investigating, you and other newsrooms. How did you go about this investigation? How did you find these convicted officers?
Well, it started at the beginning of this year. We got a list via routine public records request of approximately 12,000 current and former law enforcement officers and also applicants who were convicted of a crime in the last decade. And we ultimately were able to find about 630 current or former officers with a criminal conviction in the last decade, and more than 80 of them appear to still be working today.
80 are still working, and they're working in departments everywhere?
It's up and down the state. Yes, that's correct. They're working throughout the state.
And what's the explanation, if there is one, for why they're allowed to keep their jobs?
Broadly speaking, you know, what we heard from a number of the chiefs was sort of, you know, we hire from the human race, people make mistakes, you know, sometimes mistakes make you better. You know, we heard a sort of argument that people deserve a second chance, and there is such a thing as due process, and sometimes you can be humbled by your mistake and go on to become a better officer.
And have some of these officers actually served prison time?
Actively working, I don't believe any of the 80 that we found served state prison time. I think many of them served at least some time behind bars in jail, but in terms of state prison time, no.
What is it about California? If this happened in another state, would we see the same thing?
Well, so California is one of only five states in the country that doesn't decertify officers for misconduct, which basically means we don't take away their license to work within the profession. Really, the only thing that bars you statewide, largely, is a felony conviction. And what that means is hiring and firing decisions are almost entirely up to local departments. And so while you have these local departments, many local departments that hold their people to very high ethical standards, don't tolerate anything, there are certainly others where some misconduct and some fairly egregious misconduct is not disqualifying, and you can either keep your job or get hired there. It's very much up to the local chiefs and the local departments.
And what does it look like here in Los Angeles at the LAPD or in the Sheriff's Department?
We found, I mean, there are a lot of cases down in LA. Some of that's probably obvious just from a numbers perspective, just because there are so many officers down there. Within the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, I believe there are about a dozen deputies who are still working today, at least a dozen, I should say, still working today with a prior criminal conviction. A couple pretty disturbing ones. We did a whole story and focused on domestic violence, and there's a deputy who was accused of, was convicted following allegations of elder abuse. His wife had accused him of domestic violence. A prosecutor in that case actually questioned his humanity, and he's still working today as an LA County, in the LA County Sheriff's Department. So there were some pretty shocking cases.
And you've published the names, right?
That's correct.
And what's the name of this officer?
The name of that officer is Jose Acero.
Okay. I think that was the initial objection, right, from the Attorney General, Javier Becerra, in releasing this, the fact that you released it. I think he threatened legal action against reporters for publishing because he didn't want their names released.
We got this list via a routine public records request, and I started asking questions about it, thinking it wasn't a big deal, just trying to say, understand what exactly these records were. And I was met early on with some sort of odd silence, and then out of the blue, I got this letter from the state attorney general's office saying the record had been inadvertently released, and that mere possession of it was a crime, was a misdemeanor, and that if we didn't destroy this record, we would face legal action.
Did he follow through on that?
Well, I haven't been arrested yet.
But that was his initial, that was his reason for the objecting, right? Violating the officer's privacy?
Well, that wasn't exactly, the argument was that these underlying records were created or came from a state database that is, I believe, statutorily confidential, and that you shouldn't be getting any records from, I think it's called the ACHS, which is a big criminal history system. And so his argument was that that made them confidential, and therefore possession of them was a crime.
What's been the reaction from police departments, from the Attorney General's office, to your reporting?
You know, the Police Chiefs Association put out a pretty strongly worded press release calling the article sensational. They keyed in on something we had very high in the story, which was the fact that the number of convictions we identified is a very small percentage of the 79,000 sworn officers in the state. You know, what I'd also point out is that they didn't address the next couple sentences in that paragraph, which acknowledge or say that we don't actually know what the real number is from this list of 12,000. The state refuses to say. There were many hurdles and roadblocks in terms of trying to actually learn the true number, everything from, you know, hundreds of case files being destroyed around the state to just, you know, the inability to get certain records and make certain confirmations.
Robert, thank you. And thank you for your reporting.
You're very welcome.
Robert Lewis is a reporter at the Investigative Reporting Program at UC Berkeley, part of a collaboration with 30 different newsrooms, and you can read more about this story at mercurynews.com. And we reached out to the State Attorney General's office and have yet to hear.